Welcome to episode 208 of Board Game Blitz, a podcast about all things board games that you can listen to in less time than it takes to sketch your first self-portrait. Board Game Blitz is sponsored by Gray Fox Games. This week, we're talking about drawing games. First, we discuss a couple games we've played recently: Side Quest, Nemesis and Seventh Sea, Mystery Detective Volume 1 and 2, and Aqua. Then we talk about some of our favorite games where you have to utilize pens or pencils or markers to play them and what it actually means to be a drawing game. And now here are your hosts,
Ambie
and Crystal.
Recently, I got a few review copies that I'm going to talk about. So first, from Board and Dice, I got Side Quest Nemesis and Side Quest Seventh Sea. These are both escape room type games designed by Jakub Kaban and Bartosz Idzikowski. So Side Quest is, I guess, a new escape room system, but these are themed around other board games. Or like, I think Seventh Sea is a role-playing game and Nemesis is a board game or something. I haven't played the other things that they're themed around, but Side Quest Nemesis is themed around like an alien spaceship thing. And Seventh Sea is, it was some like adventuring thing. I just played it and I completely forgot.
Well, what's interesting, so Nemesis, the board game, is a thing, and that is a non-IP themed, basically board game version of the movie Alien.
Alien, but not Alien.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so the theme was like that. So I'm just going to talk about the system more than the individual things, because there might be spoilers. But so in the system, there's no instruction book. It just tells you, like, look at the first card and then follow what you're doing. So then the first card's like, okay, set it up like this, and this is how you're going to be solving puzzles. So there's a deck of cards that you're going to be going through, and some of the cards have different things. They have, like, puzzles on them, or in Nemesis, you actually like lay out the cards to be a grid where you can walk and choose which path to go. There's also bigger cards that go into the box itself. So the box is a little square box. It's like 6 by 6 inches or something. And then there's cardstock sheets that you can put in the sides to make it a 3D cube box thing. So you're kind of like looking on the outside of that box and it has art on it. And that sometimes is part of the puzzles. And then you can like put cards into the slots there. And so you're doing like puzzles that involve that art on the box that you made in both Side Quest Seventh Sea and Side Quest Nemesis. The way the puzzles work is they usually have, or they always have, some sort of 4-digit answer, which could be numbers or symbols or something. And they have these little answer tokens, keys that have like a color, a number, a symbol on each one. And so you're going to like put those four down in order, kind of matching them up on this answer key. And then you check if it's right. And then it tells you what card to go to if it's right. And so it has more of a story to both of these. Like, there was a lot of reading story after each card. It's like a lot of flavor text and then some puzzles. Some of the puzzles I liked, some of them I didn't like. In both of them, they had some puzzles that they didn't have hints for. So like, they have hints for a lot of the puzzles in a hint booklet, and then they have like hint one, hint two. It's not just right after each other. It says like, for hint two, go to number 33. And then for hint three, go to number 16 or something. So you don't like accidentally read the next hint, which is kind of neat. But like, for some of the puzzles, it's like, you have to solve this without hints. And then if you mess up, then like you get the bad thing from it. And some of those puzzles were just kind of arbitrary, it seemed. I did not like those. So, and like, some of them, even after reading the solution, it'd be like, what are we supposed to like see that? And doesn't make sense. So I didn't really like that part. And then also in both of them, they had, the endings were kind of like, not sure if you win or not. It's like you get some sort of level and then it's like, this is what happens. So it didn't really have like a clear winning or losing. It was just like, this is what happens. It was untimed. So it's like a more relaxed puzzle experience than an escape room game. I did like the story part and like the theme. And I liked the idea of having the 3D box thing, but in practice, it didn't work well, I think, with the puzzles. In all the puzzles that we played, I think the 3D part didn't really matter much, that it was 3D. And we just like picked up the box and looked at it. And it would have been a bit like easier to just look at a flat paper of art. And some of the art was kind of dark. So like, if I'm trying to play two players, I played with Toby. We can't both be looking at the art, because like, I try to pick up the box and then looking at the art, and then we're blocking the other person from seeing it, kind of. So that just made it kind of harder for us and more annoying, which was sad, because like, it looked cool, but I didn't like playing it as much. So this was like a middle tier escape room game for me. It was okay. I had fun playing it, but like, it's not one that I would go out of my way to be getting. And that was Side Quest Nemesis and Side Quest Seventh Sea. And then I also got review copies of Mystery Detective Volume 1 and Mystery Detective Volume 2. These are published by Addigame. These are like riddled things about deaths where you're trying to figure out what happened. So I used to play this a lot in high school. Someone would say a sentence like, Jack and Jill are on the floor in a puddle of water and they're dead. What happened? And then everyone else asked yes or no questions and then you answer them. And then eventually there's like this whole backstory that's really like not something you would think of at first.
It's always an icicle if it's a puddle of water, yeah, right? Yeah. Like that's the, well, no, it's Jack always and Jill an icicle.
Is goldfish.
Goldfish.
They were fish and the cat knocked them over.
Yeah, because I guess, yeah, the assumption is like most people think they're human, but yeah, that okay.
So yeah, so it's something like that. I love them and Toby loved them. And so this is basically Mystery Detective Volume 1 is 100 cards of these things. And each card has like a picture on the front with the sentence and on the back it has the story. So one person will read the story and then answer the questions, yes or no. It's basically that. So if you like those things, this is more of it. And then Volume 2 is actually based on real life things that happened. So that's kind of sad, but yeah, like actual things that happened. And Volume 1 is not actual things. So it's, I guess, theoretically, Volume 2 might be easier to figure out if they're actual things. And Volume 1 is like a little more outlandish. I don't know. But I played this with a large group of people at first, but I think not all of them were into this type of thing. So I think they were getting a little bored of it. So we played once and then they didn't want to play anymore. But then I played more with just Toby and actually a few of them we already knew. So we get really fast at that. Read the sentence like, oh, is it this? but there's a lot of them. We haven't played through all of them. There's 100 in each case. So like, if you like this type of thing, it has cool art on the front. The artist is Bernard Skopnik for both of them. It says sometimes the art on the front could be a clue, but sometimes it's just not related at all. So yeah, if you like those little riddle crime murder things, then Mystery Detective Volume 1 and Volume 2, that's exactly what they are.
Awesome. I recently got to try one of the new games coming out from the OP. The OP, formerly known as USAopoly, was known for a long time for publishing all of the themed versions of Monopoly, which are incredibly popular all over the world. Like, they sold and sell a lot of those. But the OP has been moving more and more into the hobby game space. And one of their recent releases is Aqua, Biodiversity in the Oceans. The subtitle is important because there is another listing on Board Game Geek called Just Aqua, but you'll hear people just refer to this game as Aqua, and when you look at the box cover, it looks like Just Aqua, but yeah. Technically there is a subtitle. So Aqua is a tile laying game where players are going to be collecting hexagonal tiles of coral and placing them into their little coral reef, lining them up. Each tile can be made up to 3 rhombus shaped areas, basically. Those areas might all be different colors or they might not. Some of them might be the same color. And when you draft a tile, you add it to your coral reef. And then if you complete a full hex of a single color by placing tiles together, then you get to attract a fish of that color to your reef. And so you place one of the fish tiles that match on top of the coral. Then as you build that out, if you get enough fish tiles of a particular shape, meaning like maybe there are 3 hexes of fish in a straight line, there are larger sea creatures that you can attract to your board. And those come in a variety of shapes and sizes and all varying point values as well. So a lot of people have likened this game to Cascadia in its weight, and I would say that that is an accurate comparison. It is a relatively light game. It is easy to pick up and learn, and so it's easy to teach, but there is some interesting strategy to be found, especially because when you're placing just the first tile of fish, there isn't anything you really have to worry about. But if you want to attract the larger sea creatures to go on top of the fish tiles you've already collected, there has to be a biodiversity community, meaning all of the fish that it is the larger animal is covering have to be different colors because biodiversity is important. And so at one point when I was playing, I was trying to get this really big sea creature that would have been made up of four of the smaller hexes. And I actually had the shape built out on my board, and I realized that my last little area was going to be the same color as my first little area. And I was like, shoot, I can't attract it. So I ended up bringing a different sea creature instead. This is one of those games that I think you could easily teach to non-gamers, but hobby gamers can definitely still enjoy. It's a nice, quick little tile laying game. The tiles are good and chunky, so they feel really satisfying to play with. And the artwork is absolutely gorgeous. The art was done by Vincent Dutrait, who we have discussed on the show before. We really love his work. And the designers of the game, Dan Halstead and Tristan Halstead, clearly did some good work here. I think it is a nice game from the op, and I am excited to see what else that they are going to be coming out with in the near future. They've come up with some neat stuff, and they recently sponsored a charity marathon that we participated in as part of the Tabletop Live Network, and I got to play this game on stream, so as part of that, so that was pretty neat. So that is Aqua from the op.
Cool.
For our thematic segment today, we are going to talk about drawing games. And I would say that drawing games could encompass a lot of different things. And we kind of both had something specific in mind when we first started talking about this. And then we realized there's some nuance to the term drawing that we want to kind of get into here because, like, yeah, there's some drawing games that are very clearly party games, kind of in the vein of things like Pictionary and all of its successors. But there's other games that also involve drawing that don't feel like those types of games.
Yeah. And at first we were thinking of like making a list of like top five lists or something. And then I was realizing that they feel very different. Like, oh, we could just talk about like how drawing is used. It's kind of interesting how it can be in very different types of games, even though like you don't think of drawing as a usual board game mechanism, but it can make for some nice, unique board games, I think.
Yeah. And I think it is one of those mechanisms that some people hear and immediately kind of get scared of because they're like, oh no, I can't draw. Mm-hmm. Like, I've had to kind of assuage fears for people in the past who, like, I'll bring out A Fake Artist Goes to New York, for instance. You do not have to know how to draw at all to play A Fake Artist Goes to New York. But people will hear it's a drawing game and they'll go, oh, no, I can't do that. And it's like, you can, though. And let me explain why. Because in A Fake Artist, you're drawing a teeny tiny piece of the drawing at like twice during the whole round. And you don't want it to be super obvious what you're drawing. So if you're bad, that might be good.
Yeah. And then another one where being bad helps with the game is Telestrations or Eat Poop You Cat, which is the
original
main game.
Yeah, that's the public domain version of Telestrations.
Yeah, right? Yeah. But basically you're drawing, someone writes a sentence or Telestrations, they have a word and then you're drawing that and then they're writing what you drew and then going back and forth like a game of telephone. And so like if your drawing is bad, that makes it more funny because it's more like a funny party game where you want it to get all weird.
I know. I feel bad because I've played games like that multiple times in the past where there's sometimes one player who genuinely thinks they're ruining the game with their drawings. And almost every single time, the person who's like, I'm not a good drawer, the things that they incorporated into the books often spun things off in really interesting directions. Mm-hmm. And so it's never about being accurate. It's like, it's for fun and amusement. And I think some people, you know, it is okay, obviously, to be self-conscious of things. But also, you know, you have to remember that the purpose of a game is to have fun, not to be a good drawer.
Yeah, there are games where being a good drawer does help. I grew up playing Pictionary a lot, and there are other games like that. One of the games that I like is called Doodle Rush, which is a Pictionary type game where you're drawing and guessing pictures, but then you're doing it kind of at the same time as everyone else. So it's a real-time one. I love real-time stuff.
What? Yeah. No, I played this game with you and Toby and some other people at BlitzCon years ago, and I don't mind some real-time games and, like, some really stressful situations. That game stressed me out harder than, like, most games, because you have to draw your thing and look at everyone else's drawings at the same time. And my brain was like, no, thank you.
Yeah, but you're just like drawing so much and then guessing everyone. I like that. It goes very fast. So yeah. Another one that I just thought of that you don't have to be good at drawing, but it has drawing as a mechanism and listening, which is also a rare mechanism in games. It's called Hear Me's. It's a children's game by Haba. But in Hear Me's, there's a Velcro square pad that you're drawing on, and you have like a stick that draws on it. So it's just making a noise. You're not actually like drawing a pencil on paper thing. So you're drawing the shape on that, and everyone else is listening to try to guess what you drew. And there's a grid of different drawings, and it shows like the line art of it. So as you can see that this thing has five dots and this has like a circle and stuff. Like it's a picture of a pizza or something. It's like circle. It shows you it's a circle with a line and two lines in it, and then like five dots or something. And that's how you draw it. So you can kind of hear, okay, they did this many dots and then they did this. And like, it sounds like they drew a curve or a straight line, and you can guess. And it's very interesting that you can hear someone drawing.
That actually sounds super fascinating. Yeah. I think like that doesn't have to be a children's game. That could easily work with adults.
Yeah, it's probably like an older children/adult game too. Like, but yeah, it's really interesting.
Another game that involves drawing that I really like that I don't hear get talked about very much because it just came out like within the past few years is Last Message. I think I've talked about it on the show before, but you have like a Where's Waldo style picture with tons and tons and tons of stuff on it. And one person is the murderer or whatever. they call it something else in the game to make it more family friendly, but I don't remember the term they use. And they pick one of the people, basically one tiny person in this giant Where's Waldo picture. And then there is one other person who is assigned to be the clue giver to the rest of the table. And you have this whiteboard with a grid built onto it of 9 squares. And you can write or draw whatever you want onto that little whiteboard. But the murderer gets to erase a certain number of the squares every round. So you're often making drawings and words across multiple squares, and the other people are only going to end up seeing partial words and partial drawings at the end of it. So you're drawing super fast. So you can't do anything skillful with your drawing at all. You can communicate barely anything, but it's so much fun. I really enjoy that one.
I think when we played it, we ended up writing more. Just like writing super long run-on sentences across the whole thing.
I think I find that writing tends to work for me better as well, but also like I'm a writer, like words are my medium. So, but I have played with people who did more pictures, and it always turns out super fascinating because sometimes the pictures that get partially erased are still easier to decipher. Whereas if you lose a good chunk of a word, you're like, H-E what, right? Like that could be anything.
Yeah. Another one that we've mentioned a lot with language deciphering is Rosetta, the Lost Language. And this one person is drawing. Well, I guess one person was drawing the other one too. But it's a cooperative game where one person is drawing, well, writing, I guess, a fictional language, making up a fictional language and writing it down and trying to get people to guess the meaning of this hieroglyphic word. When the people guess other words, then the person will be drawing what that word is in that language. So you're like making up this language and drawing it out, which is really interesting. Hard to come up with things that make sense, but it's really neat.
I love being the drawer in that game. I'm like always like, let me draw. Yeah. It's my favorite part. One other that we've talked about recently is Make the Difference from Oink Games. Earlier, Fake Artist Goes to New York was also Oink, but Make the Difference is if the Spot the Difference Between These Two Pictures thing from Highlights Magazine was a board game, if you ever read Highlights, but you're adding tiny differences to a picture using a dry erase marker, or not a dry erase marker, just a black marker, and everyone else has to spot the differences that you made, and you're like, that sounds easy. It's not. So, and the larger the differences you make, the more points you can earn. But obviously, if they're large, they're easier to spot. So always super fun, and obviously no drawing skills required because you're just adding little things onto an existing drawing.
And then when I was looking on BGG for games in like the drawing category, there's a drawing category and a line drawing category that are different, but Captain Sonar came up and I was like, oh yeah, that has drawing in it. So Captain Sonar is a team game where there's like four different roles per team and you're on a submarine, like moving the submarine around and then trying to like figure out where the other team's submarine is and then trying to shoot them down. But part of it is drawing the path of your submarine and like trying to draw the path of where the other submarine is going. And so like you listen to the other submarine's commands and you draw which way they went on this clear transparent sheet, and you can overlay it on the map to see like where they could have gone or like where they are, because you don't know where they started, you just know the directions they went. So that's like kind of drawing, because you're drawing the route, but it's just, you know, you don't need to have any drawing skill, it's just drawing lines. But it is a drawing game, because you're drawing the lines. So I was like, oh yeah, that's cool.
Doesn't one of the other roles also have like, there's a speed drawing element in one of the things? Like if something happens, one, you have to like quickly.
Like circle things or something?
Yeah, you have to like around a big thing or something. Yeah. You can't touch certain things on the sheet or whatever.
I think you all have to do that if like something happens. I forget.
Yeah, I can't. It's been a while since I played. I mean, understandably, Captain Sonar is, while it is a really cool game, it's hard to get played because it's, you need 8 players to do the full game, and I've heard of people doing it with either 2 or 4, but I've played it with 8 and I don't really want to do it any other way. Like it's fun to have 4 people facing 4 other people, like in this epic battle of submarines.
Yeah, but it's hard to get played. But then drawing routes got me thinking about like other games that have just drawing routes. I haven't played any, but there's like the Crayon Rail games are train games that involve like, I assume, crayons to draw routes. Because I know it involves like literally drawing routes with some sort of, I mean, it's called Crayon Rails. So I assume you don't have to use a crayon, but I don't know. So there's games that where you just draw things.
Yep. Another one is the Doodle Quest and Looney Quest style games, where you have a transparency and there is a sheet in the middle and you have to draw like a route basically on your transparency that when placed over the sheet in the middle will get you from like point A to point B, and like you have to sometimes like pick up certain items and avoid other items, but you can't place it over the thing until after you've drawn it. And the first time I played that game, I was shockingly good at it and people were losing their minds. They were like, you've played this before. And I was like, I really haven't. I sometimes certain spatial games like just hit my brain the right way. And that one, I was like, okay, clearly you go here, 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 and here. And then everybody got mad because I like got a billion points.
For some reason, that reminded me of a game that, a newish game that I haven't played yet, called Turbo Kids. It's also drawing. This is by Scorpion Masque, but it has teams, I think. So one person has their eyes closed and is drawing a route of a race car, and the other person is like holding their hand and steering them, kind of like a joystick.
That sounds like
and
so
I really
much fun.
Want to play this. And apparently, this mechanism was in another game, an old Splatter game. So Splatter is known for making very heavy games, very heavy strategy games. So it's called VOC or VOC, I don't know, exclamation point, founding the Dutch East Indies Company. But apparently this is a competitive nautical strategy game where you're all merchants and stuff. But part of it involves like line drawing where everyone's telling them directions to go and they close their eyes and have to like navigate on the map. And so like, I guess everyone's kind of shouting directions or something at them. And then but like some people want you to go the good place and some people don't or something. I'm not really sure exactly how it goes, but like that involves line drawing on a map with your eyes closed. I haven't played this one either. But yeah, it's like a really heavy game though. Or well, it's 2.61 weighting, but like a more complex strategy game that involves drawing, which is neat.
What's funny, I actually have been mostly in my head, but a little bit on paper. I've been designing a drawing game. Really? And you talking about that actually gave me an idea for my game that I'm working on. So I don't know if I'll implement it, but yeah, it's weird because like, I don't really have like in-person people to like test prototype stuff with, and doing it digitally would be very difficult based on the fact that it's a drawing game. So I don't know. Chances are, you listeners may never hear of this again. I don't know, but I've been like toying around with it for a few months in my head. And yeah, I guess if any board game designers are listening and want to help me figure out this drawing game, you know, hit me up. So we would love to hear from you all. What are your favorite drawing games. Which ones did we miss? Which ones should we check out? Go to our Discord link in the show notes or hit us up on social media and let us know what your faves are.
And that's it for this week's Board Game Blitz. Visit our website, BoardGameBlitz.com, for more content and links. This episode was sponsored by Gray Fox Games. The Last Light 2nd Edition Pledge Manager is still open for late pledges, so if you haven't gotten yourself a copy of the game that won the 2023 Blitzy for Most Epic Game, now's the time! And if you head to GrayFoxGames.com, you can grab all non-exclusive items for 20% off by using the code BGBlitz24 at checkout. Join the Blitz Care community on Discord for game nights, discussions, and more by following the link in the show notes. Support the show by leaving us a rating and review on your podcast provider. And if you like us a lot and want to support us monetarily and get some cool perks, check out our Ko-fi at ko-fi.com/boardgameblitz today. Our theme song was composed by Andrew Morrow. Until next time. And I don't understand why I work all day. And I start to complain that I must gain. Bye, everyone. Bye. So there's a card of decks or a card of decks that you got there by using the code BGBlitz2024 at checkout. And that's not the code. Okay.
Oh, I didn't even notice. Wow.
All right.